Well, I'm so glad tonight to be saved. Aren't you glad to be saved? Do you feel alive in your soul this evening? You know, we all have great need in our life. And I'm so thankful that we serve a God who is able to take all the broken pieces that look like can never be put back together again. And He's able to put them all back together again in a better way than it ever was before. When it seems like that the time of opportunity has passed for the Lord to come on the scene and answer prayer, when it seems too late to us, He comes by and He's right on time. And I'm so thankful that God has allowed me to be part of this plan. You know, sometimes I feel like that we almost feel like we get lost in the shuffle, or the Lord's dealing with all these people out there and then there's me. But the good news of the gospel is that God has called you and He knows you by name. You know, I just had three children and I know every one of their names. And some of you have families that have quite a few more children than I have, and I have a hard time remembering all their names. But did you know that the parents of all those children know what their names are? And the Lord knows the names of all His children. And everyone that is willing to be His child, the Lord knows your name. He knows the names of those who are not His children tonight. And His call is going out to all of us. I've chosen you. I have a plan for you. I have a place for you. I have blessings in store for you. I have land for you to possess that will enrich your life. And this is reality, folks. This isn't just preaching a message and we go out the back door and go on away and say, well, it sure sounded good, but it doesn't apply to me. It works. It applies. It's real. It's true. And it can be had. And I'm thankful for that tonight. I'd like to start in the 22nd chapter of Acts tonight. In the 22nd chapter of Acts, and a little background here, Paul had gone into the temple, and it said in the 21st chapter that the Jews came in and they heard that Paul was in the temple. And so they began to stir up all kinds of things with the people. And they began to falsely accuse Paul. He just went into the temple for purification. He went into the temple with wasn't trying to stir anything up. But the people falsely accused what it was that he was trying to do. And they accused him of coming against all the people, the law, the temple, falsely accused him. And they ran him out. They got him outside of the temple. And the scripture said that all of the city was moved against Paul. This isn't my message so much tonight, but don't be let down or discouraged when it seems like all the city is moved against you when you are out to live for the Lord, do His will, and follow after His name. You stay true and you stay strong. You're not the first one. No one's tried to kill me yet. But they pulled Paul out of there and it said the city was moved against them and they began to beat Paul with the intent to kill him. That's what they started to do. Well, the scripture says that the chief captain of the band, that there was tidings that came to the chief captain that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. And so he took soldiers and a centurion and he ran down there to see what was going on. And he got down there and he found the people all in an uproar trying to kill Paul. Well, when they showed up on the scene, they stopped beating Paul at least and they backed up. They still didn't know what was going on. So they took Paul and said they put a couple chains around him and they're trying to find out what's going on. And so they're asking, well, who is he? I think they ask him who he was, what he had done. Somebody said, well, this is what happened, and somebody else said this is what happened. They didn't know what was going on. And so they took him to a castle, commanded to take him to a castle, and be carried up into the castle, try to get him away from the people. And it said when he came upon the stairs, he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. And the multitude was crying after him, saying, away with him. So if you could just get in your mind and kind of visualize this castle out there and have these soldiers, and you got Paul, he's bound or being carried, I don't know what state he was in now, and they're carrying up, and he's going up these stairs, and Paul turns to the soldier and he said, can I speak to you? And he said, well, can you speak Greek? And Paul began to tell him who he was, and then he said, would you let me talk to the people? And so he gave him license to talk to the people. And so you have this crowd down there that was out to take Paul's life. And so Paul's up there on these stairs and he turns around. Well, I assume he turns around. He looks down at the people and it said that they gave him silence. And then it said he began to speak to them in the Hebrew tongue. And then it said their silence was even greater. And he began to tell them who he was. And he began to give them a little background on whose feet that he learned from. And that he also was one that observed this law to the point that he himself took the lives and persecuted other people. And that there came a day where he had been given license to go and take others away. And he was headed down this Damascus road. And it said in the sixth verse, and he's telling them this story. Okay, this isn't when it happened. Paul's relating this story to the people that were attempting to take his life. And it said, and it came to pass that as I made my journey, this is 22 and 6, I was come nigh unto Damascus about noon. Suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around me, and I fell unto the ground. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me, and stood, and he said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him, and he said, now listen to these verses, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I believe there's a lesson in this for us tonight. And it's personal. God is calling us. He's calling you. He's calling me. We all have a road that we've walked down. We all have a road that we are walking down. We all have our own individual paths. And every one of us have things in our past that we're not real proud of. All of us. But the good news tonight is that the Lord's message to every one of us is a message of, I've called you. I love you. I care about you. And sometimes, out of the love of the Lord, He comes along to His children and He says, "What are you doing? Where are you going? What? How did you end up here? What is your purpose when you get at the end of this road?" We talked the other night about decisions that are directionally right. Sometimes we come to forks in the road, we take the wrong road, we start to get ourselves in a place where we shouldn't be, and the Lord comes along and He says, "What are you doing? Why are you here?" And sometimes, "Why are you living contrary to my way?" You remember in the other, when it really happened, didn't the Lord tell Paul, "It's pretty hard to kick against the pricks"? Did you know that it's hard? It's a hard life to try to live in a way that's inconsistent with truth. And that's the reason why there's so much trouble in the world. There's books after books on the bookshelves. There's learned men. Ever increasing, ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. There will always be trouble when we try to live our lives contrary to the truth. And we can try, and we can try to make ourselves feel better. We can find ways to bring ourselves a false sense of security. We talked a little bit about that in the meeting. But the fact of the matter is, it's hard to kick against those things that are unmovable. You see, the truth's always going to stand. And it doesn't matter whether I think it's truth or not. It's still truth. And it's still going to be there. And when I live in a manner inconsistent with that, I am going to consistently run into trouble throughout my life until I'm willing to hear the voice of the Lord that says, why are you doing this? Why are you here? Why are you going down this road? I'll run into trouble. The Lord is not trying to destroy us with truth. The intent of the Lord is to lift us up and save us with the truth of the gospel. It's intended to lift us up from the place of sin and bondage, a place where there is no hope, a place of dead ends, a place where we dream and the dreams just don't come to pass like we so hoped that they would. It's because we're living in a manner inconsistent with truth. So the Lord comes along wherever we are, and He's faithful and He's just to call our names.
That's right.
And He wants us with a sense of urgency and with interest to say, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" That's what Paul did. "Lord, well, what is it that you would have me to do?" I want that to be my testimony tonight. I want my testimony through life, regardless of the things that I care so much about that I'm drawn to, okay? We're all drawn to certain things in life that are so important to us. But I want to live so that I always have that prayer. "Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, you might send me somewhere that I'm uncomfortable with. It might take me out of my comfort zone. I may not totally understand the end of it. But Lord, what would you have me to do? Here am I, Lord. I'll go. I'll live like you want me to live." What a blessing to be called by the Lord. For Him to be willing to call my name and to call your name. Well, the Lord's response to Paul was, Paul said, "What would you have me to do?" And here Paul was, after all of the things he had done wrong. The Lord didn't say, when Paul said, "What would you have me to do?" The Lord didn't say, "I'll tell you what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to stay right down there in the dirt and wallow around in it a while because you have been a bad person. And you need to just hang out there. And maybe I'll come back sometime and give you some instruction." Paul had the state of heart that he needed. He humbled himself.
That's right.
It's always struck me. He asked the Lord who he was, but he called the Lord by name. That was always interesting to me. Who art thou, Lord? Well, that's who I am. I'm Lord. You've got that right. And the Lord comes by and He speaks to us like no one else.
Yes.
And when that happens, don't deny who it is.
Yes.
Don't try to put some other interpretation on the whisper of the Lord
That's
in your ear.
Right. Right.
Be honest with yourself.
Yes.
Be intellectually honest.
Yes.
Be willing to say, even if it's a close place, this is where we live, folks. This is where it's hard. Those close places, those places where we don't want to change. Be willing to say, Lord. Lord, I recognize You're talking to my heart. What is it that You would have me to do? And the Lord's response to Paul was, arise.
Yes.
That's what He said, arise. And gave him instructions on how to proceed.
Yes.
And the Lord is telling us, I believe, tonight, to arise from where we are. And He has instructions for you.
Yes.
And He has instructions for me. And listen, they're instructions of life.
Yes.
They're instructions that allow us to experience the expected end of peace.
Yes.
Why would I want to stay where I am? Why would I want to be hindered in getting up and arising tonight? Be willing to arise. The Lord has instruction for us. And when He came and saw Ananias, He was given a message that is the message that I want to give you tonight. He told him in the 14th verse, the God of our fathers hath chosen you.
Yes.
You, Paul. Me? Have you ever been in a big group of people and you felt almost like you were lost in the group, and somebody picks you out and they point to you and you're, surely they're not pointing at me, you know? And no, you're who I'm looking for. You're looking for me? Yes, you. That's the message. God is, He's pointing to you.
Yes.
I wish, Lord, help me to convey this like I want to convey it. This is personal. God's calling your name.
That's true.
He knows who you are. You're not lost in the crowd.
Thank the Lord.
You're not by yourself. You're not a spectator.
Amen.
You are running the race that God has prepared for you, whether you want to run or not, and the Lord is your biggest fan to finish with victory.
That's right.
Yes. And He's out there and He's saying, you, I'm calling you, listen. Change lanes. Change lanes. There's danger ahead. You might want to pick up the pace. Watch out for the guy that's coming on your side. Watch out for this environment. The Lord is there to give us instruction, and He's chosen you. Your name. I want to read a verse here real quick in Deuteronomy 7. Listen to what this says. It says, Deuteronomy 7 and 6, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee, you, to be a special people. Not a people in bondage, not a second class people, not a people that just has to live with the crumbs of the world and gets to watch everybody else have the good life. You're a special people. A people that He has called out to allow to enjoy the blessings of a God that has power that's above and beyond what we could ever have. A special people unto Himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were in more in number than any other people. For you are the fewest in number. Saints, it's okay. It's okay to be the minority. Young folks, it's okay to be at school and be by yourself and look different and act different and talk different and not participate in the things they participate in.
Right.
And feel like, well, I'm odd or I'm different. Yes, thank the Lord, you're odd, you're different. The Lord said, leap for joy when they separate you from your from their company. Be happy about that because your name's written in heaven. It's okay to be part of the minority. I want to be part of the minority. I don't want to be part of the majority in this world. I want to be part of the special people called unto the Lord. The few people, the called out people. Because the Lord loved you. And because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers. And He brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Thank the Lord. Peter said, but you're a royal priesthood. You're a chosen people. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. That's who I want to be part of. Don't you? Why would you want to be part of anything else? We saints, I don't know if there's anyone in here tonight that says, well, we do. That's what I want to do. And we understand, well, we say and we agree with this, but then so many go right out the back door and so quickly get sucked into the majority.
That's right.
Because of the promise of fulfillment, and it's not there.
Yeah, that's right.
And all you have to do is look over history, look over generation after generation. You find a people who live to the flesh and have a good end.
That's right.
And somehow we think we're the exception. Wasn't it Solomon that said that there's no new thing under the sun? I mean, you're not special from the fact that you are going to be exempt from following a way that's not truth. Truth doesn't change. God is truth. God has called us. Be encouraged to be chosen by the Lord and to walk a way that's separate and different from the world around you. It's a privilege. It's a royal priesthood. It's a holy nation. He's called you forth to sing praises unto them that have been called out of what?
Darkness.
I don't want to wander around in darkness. I'm not interested in walking around in the dark.
Into His marvelous light.
That doesn't sound like a people that are pushed down and have the second, third, fourth best in life. This is God who created the earth. He's the one that put in you the desire to be fulfilled. Have you ever thought about that? You didn't create yourself. The people of the world didn't create you. God created you, and it was God that put in you the desire to be fulfilled. And you know what? He intended and He designed it so that He was the only one that could fulfill it. There's a lot of knockoffs in the world today. On a lot of things that, but when it, and sometimes those work in the world. But when it comes to fulfilling your heart's desire, there aren't any knockoffs. There's no substitutions that work. The Lord designed it that way. And He just wants us to get to the place where we say, yes, Lord, what would You have me to do? And the Lord's like, yes, that's exactly what I've been waiting for. Come, arise. Come follow me. I've chosen you. He wants you to know His will. This is the 14th verse. He's not trying to make a secret of it. He's not trying to make it, put a blindfold on you and spin you around a few times and say, well, if you make it, you win the prize, but it's up to you. The Lord wants you to know His will. It's His desire that He live within you. It's His desire that you hear the voice when He says, hey, this is the way. Walk ye in this way. This way right here will work. This will protect you. This will be good for you. He wants you to know His will. He wants you to see Jesus. He wants us to get a vision of who He is. And it saddens me because I feel like there's so many people in the world that go halfway for the Lord. They don't seek the Lord with all their heart. They go halfway, partway, cut as many corners as they think they can cut, and still sort of, kind of qualify for trying the Lord out. And then it doesn't work. They don't know His will. They don't see Jesus. They don't get a vision of it. They just feel bondage. And then it's almost like, well, it doesn't work for me. What do you mean it doesn't work for you? You've never tried it. You've never tried it. You have to follow the prescription. You have to follow truth. That's all. It's not complicated. You just have to be willing to lay yourself on the altar. Get down on the ground for a while and humble yourself. And the Lord will come along and you can say, what would you have me to do, Lord? And the Lord will give you instruction and He'll say, arise. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Have something for you. He wants you to hear His voice. That's our privilege to hear His voice. It's our privilege. He wants to talk to you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. And He wants you to be His witness unto all men. That's our calling. And when does He want all of this to take place? What did He tell Paul? Now. Why tarriest thou? Why do we delay and defer action? Why do people say, yeah, I know I need to get saved. Yeah, I'll probably get saved someday. I know I need to. And I'm not trying to diminish the power of the enemy or some of the things that we can get involved with. I understand that. But I also understand this. If truth is truth, and my soul's at stake, and God is calling my name, why would I tarry? Why would I not arise? Why would I stay in the place that I'm in? Oh, here's a good one. I'll pray about it. The Lord calls you. The Lord says, arise. The Lord says, this is the way, walk ye in it. And He gives you Scripture and He witnesses with His Spirit. And our response is, well, I'm going to pray about it a while. You don't need to pray about it. Get up. It's the voice of the Lord. It'd be like Paul telling the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? Well, arise. Here's my instruction. Well, I'll pray about it, Lord. But that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to be willing to get up, to arise. What was it He told Joshua? We talked about this earlier in the meeting. He told Joshua, He called him. And He said, arise. It's your turn now. I have this land for you to possess. He didn't say, well, here's what I'm going to have you do. This is my will for you, but you don't have to do it right now. You can just do it on your own time. The message to Joshua was, arise. Get up. Don't be afraid. Follow this path. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. I hope you got that message throughout this revival. It doesn't work going to the right or to the left. It works to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? The shortest distance between two points is a straight line. The Lord's looking for us to make some straight lines. He's looking for us to be direct. He's looking for us, Lord, where do you want me? Okay, Lord, that's where I'm going to go. Not to the right, not to the left. And the Lord said, if you'll do this, I have much land for you to possess. And the people that you can lead into this land. That was a responsibility He had. And He has commissioned us tonight is to go into the world and take the gospel. Yes. Saw on a sign one time, preach the gospel always. And when necessary, use words. Yes. We're all preachers.
That's right.
The Lord is calling all of us, regardless of your age, to go out into the world and preach the gospel through the conduct of your life.
Right.
And it's our turn. It's your turn tonight.
That's right.
It was Joshua's turn. And the Lord said, arise, my servant Moses, he's gone now. But it's your turn now because you're alive. And it's your turn.
Yes, Lord, help us.
I want to be faithful to the word of the Lord. I want to accept that baton of responsibility. Sometimes we can say, well, Lord, I want to be where you want me to be when I get to be a certain age. Listen, God has a responsibility for you at every age. The young people, the young children who have a tender heart to the Lord, they can do a work that nobody else can do. They can reach and touch hearts like the older ones can't. And the teenagers, the young people, yes, there's time for growth. Don't use that as an excuse to put off doing what the Lord's calling you to do. There's work that teenagers can do that far surpasses what people can do when they get older. The influence they can have, the encourage, and when you're young and you influence someone else's young that has their whole life ahead of them, how important is that? And when you're middle-aged and when you get older, people say, well, I'm pretty much worked out. It's the younger ones now. Wait a minute. Us younger ones, we need the older ones to count on.
Right.
We don't want you backing off. We don't want you starting to let down on the standards because the enemy comes along and says, well, you've been on this long enough that you kind of understand what the Lord's really looking for. You can let down on some of these areas of carefulness because you've put in your time and you know what God really wants. Don't do that. Help us.
Amen.
Help us out. Help us middle-aged. Help us preachers out.
Yes.
Help the young people out that look to you older ones. Don't let down. Be strong for us.
Amen.
We need you.
Yes.
We look to you more than you realize, older ones.
Right.
We value you.
Yes.
We point to you. God has a place for us, and it might change as we get older in life. It does. It will change. Be willing to accept the passing of the responsibility from the Lord at each stage of your life. And be alive about it. Make this your focus. God has an experience for us that is not a mediocre experience. The Lord has an experience for you that is alive and it's dynamic and it's growing. And He's calling your name throughout your life. And He's saying, come, come on, follow me. Got some more land. Here's another path I want you to go down. Have a new responsibility for you. I don't want to be numbered with the lukewarm. I'm not interested in being lukewarm. I want to read that in Revelation 3. I know that's a common, well-known verse. But it's important that we understand that. You remember that the angel that talked to the church of Laodicea and he told him, I know your works. I know who you are. And I just want to make this comment tonight. God knows your works. You're not hidden. You know, sometimes in a group like this, you can sit in your pew, because I used to be there before I stood up here, and you can kind of start thinking you're hidden and you're in your own little spot. Just want to let you know, I can see pretty much what's going on.
Yeah.
And so can the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true.
And we're not hidden.
No.
And the Lord knows, He knows our works.
That's true.
He knows your works. And He knows if you're on the fence, you're not hidden.
That's right.
You're not in your own little island somewhere. He knows.
Yeah, that's right.
The angel did not say, could you help inform me what your works are? He didn't waste any time to discuss the works. Did you notice that? He didn't waste any time. He just said, your works, I know them.
That's right.
That's it. No more need be said. You remember the man that didn't have his wedding garment on? And when he was asked, you don't have a wedding garment on. He was speechless.
Right. Right.
What was there to say? There was nothing to say because it was all known. It's truth stands on its for itself. Truth is truth is truth is truth. It doesn't change. And he told him, he said, I know your works, and you're not hot and you're not cold. You're lukewarm. Now, I heard a man expound one time and he said that Laodicea was in the middle of two cities. And one was at the base of a mountain. And the cold water came off this mountain. and was refreshing for them to drink. They were known for their cold, crystal, pure water. And the town on the other side of Laodicea was known for its hot springs. It had, out of the ground, bubbled hot springs, and people would come for its healing virtue. And you know where Laodicea was? It was in the middle. And you know what the water was? It wasn't hot and healing, and it wasn't cold and crisp and fresh. It was lukewarm. The Lord always has a way of kind of getting where we live, doesn't He? And He said, and because you're lukewarm, you're not hot and you're not cold, I'm going to spew you. You'll be spewed out. I don't want to be lukewarm.
That's right.
If you're going to be a Christian, be a Christian.
Yes. Amen.
If you're going to put the sign on that says I'm a Christian,
yes.
Michael and I used to hear a dad always telling us, sons, wear your sign before we'd go to school. Morning after morning, children, wear your signs. He didn't have to describe what it said. He already described that. We knew what he was talking about. What he was talking about was wear it as if the sign says, I am a Christian. And then live like that. If you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to wear the sign, if you're going to have a testimony, if you have a testimony that you're a Christian, live like a Christian. I know there's areas to move up. Lord knows I have areas to move up. But have a heart to listen to the voice of the Lord. Be sensitive. Be careful. When the Lord says, this is the way, walk in it, don't go the other way. Don't say, okay, I hear, but I think I can manage over here. Go where the Lord's calling you. Don't be lukewarm. Because He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods. So many people out there, everything's good. Everything's fine. Talked to a man not that long ago, and I knew he wasn't fine. He had strayed. How are things? Had the best year I've ever had in my life. I knew that wasn't right. I knew that wasn't right. Because thou sayest that I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I don't want to be in that group. Who here wants to be in that group? I want to be of the people of God, a chosen generation, walking down the line. When I fall, I want to be right there close to the Lord so that He can pick me back up. Listen, I don't want to be on the wrong side of the boat out in the water trying to walk on water where the Lord's not there. Because when I sink and I fail, I want to be headed towards the Lord. You know, there are times where we have good intentions and our heart is right, and we are striving to move towards the Lord. And sometimes when we do that, we fail sometimes. That's okay if you're headed towards the Lord. You cry out to the Lord and He'll reach down and He'll pick you back up. And if you're willing to keep on going, He's willing for you to keep on going. That is the people that I want to belong to. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Be willing to be honest before the Lord. Be willing to be intellectually honest with yourself. Lord, try me.
Yes.
Know me, Lord.
Yes.
See if there's any wicked way in me. Yes. Lord, I'm willing to come down. Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to follow wherever You say by Your grace. And the Lord has wonderful words for us. His words are, rise, arise, thy sins be forgiven thee. I want to make you whole. I want to make you stronger than you were before. What a plan. What a plan. A just man will fall 7 times and rise again. He'll rise again, a just man. You may feel like that you have fallen totally and completely and perfectly, a perfect fall. That's what I think 7 represents. You fell flat on your face, but you know what it said? A just man. He'll be the one that rises again. When the Lord comes back, I suspect there's going to still be quite a bit of room for me to have grown. But I want to tell you this. I might be bloody-nosed and scabbed up, but when He comes back, I want Him to find me rising back up, getting back up, and headed towards Him.
Yes.
And if I do that, the Lord is going to forgive me. The Lord's going to have mercy on me. His blood is going to cover me. He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Isn't that where you want to be? Why do this halfway? And this call is to all of us. Because listen to what he went on to say. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice. That includes me. It includes you. It didn't say any man that has never failed. It doesn't say, and if any man who has not done this, this, or this, that is not what it says. It just flatly declares, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I'll sup with him, and he with me. I want to be a man that opens the door. When the Lord knocks on my door, I want to be that man. I want to press into the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is preached, and every man presseth into it. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You have to be willing to take some things by force. If you just lollygag along and say, well, the Lord's grace will help me, and you don't try to do anything on your own, you're going to be carried with the current of the world that is stronger than the power that you have in your life. You are going to have to team up with the Lord. You're going to have to get a hold of His Spirit. You're going to have to be filled with His power. But it's available. And He's offering it. And if we'll take it and we'll accept it, He'll get us through to the end. Why do we want to wait? I so often think of the eunuch. I just like this story. And Philip was called to go to the eunuch, a man of great responsibility. And he was carried into, I believe it was Gaza, the desert Gaza maybe. And he got over there and he saw this man up there reading out of Isaiah on his chariot. So Philip climbs up on the chariot with him and he asked, well, what are you doing? Well, he was reading, but he didn't understand it. He says, how can I understand if no one explains it to me? And it said that Philip began to preach to him. Remember what it said? Jesus! Jesus, the one who is the answer to all of our problems. He preached to him Jesus. Jesus is a message of hope, of uplifting. Jesus brings with it a name of deliverance, where He wants to bring us out of captivity and out of bondage. Loose us from our chains. Set our feet on a solid rock. That's the Jesus. And He began, and it said He expounded unto him Jesus. And at some point, the chariot must have taken off. It must have been stopped when he got up on it, but they were headed down the road now. And he had read in there about baptism. And they're passing along, and the eunuch looked down, and he saw water. He says, hey, there's water right there. Didn't we just read about being baptized? What hinders me from being baptized? What doth hinder me? Why do I want to keep taking my chariot down the road when the Lord says, this is the way? And so often, in our rush to be fulfilled, we rush right past the things that fulfill. That's what we do so often. And so what he did is he commanded his chariot to stop. Stop the chariot. I believe the Lord wants us to stop our chariot. We need to slow down following after the intoxicating things that this world has to offer. Stop your chariot relative to spiritual lethargy. Stop your chariot relative to being asleep at Zion. We want to be a people that are alive. We want to be a people that come to Wednesday night service and have a testimony to offer on what the Lord's done for us throughout the week. It shouldn't be the pastor that's always doing the praying and always doing the preaching. And may God help us to be alive. He wants us to be filled. He wants us to be filled with His Spirit. And yet Amos talked about those that were asleep in Zion. I don't want to be asleep in Zion, because you know what that speaks to me? It speaks to me of being lukewarm. And I don't want to be lukewarm, because I don't want to be spewed out of the Lord's mouth. I want to be willing to stop the chariot. And I want to be willing to say, Lord, what would you have me to do?
Amen.
And I want to listen. Isn't there? There's a scripture that says, stand still and know that I'm God. Sometimes the Lord just wants us to just be still and listen. We rent our space and our minds out to so many things in this world. Let me say it this way. To non-sinful things. You only have so much space to rent out. Let's say it that way. You only have so much. Plate's only so big. Go through a buffet line, plate's only so big. You can only put so much on it. There's a whole lot more food there than you can fit on it. And it doesn't mean that everything that doesn't fit on the plate's a sin. And your mind, we have a limited amount of time. We have a limited amount of mental energy. And we allow ourselves, we justify so much time spent on so many things that we are so quick to say, well, it's not a sin. Well, it's not a sin. Okay? Maybe it's not a sin in itself, but if you fill your mind so much and so often with so many things of this world, your chariot is just speeding down the road and you have not given the Lord a chance to speak to your heart. Have you slowed down? When was the last time the Lord spoke to your heart in a real definite way? If we'll slow down and we'll stop our chariot, the Lord has a message for us.
Yes.
He has direction to give us.
Yes.
I do too. And when we get that direction, then let's be willing to arise. Let's be willing to make haste. Because God has chosen you. How much better does it get? If God be for us, who indeed can be against us? Tonight, God, I believe, is calling us to wholly follow Him.
Yes.
Wholly follow the Lord. Yes. He has land for you.
That's right.
To possess.
Yes.
Be careful and be willing to make directionally sound decisions. When you make decisions, ask yourself, is this taking me closer to the Lord? Or is it taking me farther away? And be real careful about using the word neutral.
Yes. That's right.
God's calling us to be careful to make decisions that bring us, Lord, how can I best please You? And I believe the Lord is passing by, and it's our turn and it's our time to be made whole.
Thank the Lord.
The Lord's calling us, and He has a message for us. You want to be whole? Arise. Take up your bed. You can walk. You can walk. Call to mind and think on the things that you've heard. Allow the Lord to speak to your heart. Reflect on His goodness. And tonight, take it personally. The Lord is personally calling your name. And He's saying, make haste. I've chosen you. Tonight, I want to join the ranks of the dependable servants of the Lord. I want to fight a fight that ends in victory. I want to finish the course. And I want to do it with faith. And I don't want to do it where there's any question in my mind or anybody else's. I want to live so that I can always say, even so, Lord,
yes.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Pray for me. I want to be true.